Sometimes I think it takes a few years before we can look back and recognize some things. I recall seeing my mother, not understanding the depth of what she was going through.
For more expository preaching from Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, tune in weeknights at 9 and Saturday mornings at 9 on The Truth.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, thank you for tuning in today. We're looking forward to your dialogue and discussion, your questions in relationship to the issue that we're speaking of today. We're asking the question, should Dr. Anthony Fauci be tried and convicted for murder? He is the progenitor. He is the promoter of the COVID vaccines. He's the one that behind the scenes, we're just finding out through Tulsi Gabbard's, drop of information that was heretofore classified under the previous administration, that we found today that Dr. Fauci was instrumental in his communication conversations with the CIA, the FBI, the CDC, the FDA, etc., and all of the other organizations that promulgated, pushed, and carried out the lie. He was the one that gave them the information, and in that information we know now that it was totally deceptive. Dr. Reed Sheftall is the one that's with us today. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, let me just read you the author's blurb on the back of his newest book, Sanctioned: The COVID Murders, Volume 2, SARS-CoV-2 Virus, A Forensic Investigation. About Dr. Sheftall. Dr. Reed Sheftall, medical doctor, is a heart surgeon, plastic and reconstructive surgeon, cardiac surgeon. He was an MIT physics major, a former professional golfer, author, filmmaker, and humanitarian. He performed pediatric surgery and pediatric cardiac surgeries in Cambodia through Operation Kids, and is the author of the multi-volume Sanctioned COVID Lies series. And that's who we're talking with today. I'm thankful that Dr. Sheftall has taken time to be with us today and talk about his newest book. And by the way, we'll talk about that book and how you can obtain one of these books before the close of the broadcast today. Dr. Sheftall, let me just, we were talking a moment ago before the news break about the PCR test. Now, I can recall watching on the Communist Network News and other news media across America where cars lined up by the hundreds to come up to a station where somebody would stand there and stab that swab up the nose and put it in a little container, and then 2-3 days later they'd get a test results, and most of it was positive. Frightened the socks off the people, and multitudes of them wound up being in the hospital treated for something that didn't exist based on your research, your scientific studies, and your dogmatic statement. Right. Talk about two things for a moment, the PCR test and why those tests were so fragmented and so fraudulent, and a test for an existence of a virus that did not exist. Right. Talk about those two things.
Well, the PCR test is an amplification process, polymerase chain reaction. And it cannot be used to diagnose anything. And yet they were using it. They tricked the public into thinking they could diagnose it. And remember how mild this stupid COVID-19 was anyway. Half the people had no symptoms. Do you remember that?
That's right.
They didn't even have symptoms.
They were called asymptomatic.
Yeah. And, of course, there was a big fraud about there being asymptomatic spread, which cannot exist.
Right.
I've proved that already. But the PCR test, basically the way it works is there's a thing in it called the primer. And that's a sequence of base pairs in DNA. And I promise, audience, I won't get too esoteric about this. I'll even make an analogy right now.
Okay.
Let's say that you have, and what that sequence of base pairs from DNA is looking for is the complement that's in your nasopharynx. Because if that little sequence is from the genome of the virus, you can say that the virus probably was in your throat at some time. But here's the problem with it. At the time that they made the initial diagnoses of COVID-19, they hadn't even done the genome yet. So they didn't have a primer to use. So Christian Drosten, a virologist from Germany, used a sequence from SARS-CoV-1, we call it now. It was called SARS-CoV back then, in 2003. But there's only an 80% of nucleotide homology between SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2, and humans and rats have over a 90% nucleotide homology.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so he's using a test that can't be used to make a diagnosis with a fake primer from another organism. That's how crazy this whole thing was. But, of course, the public didn't know any of this. They just got taken advantage of something fierce. And I don't know if you remember this, Pastor, but not only did they lock down healthy people, and they made people wear masks, including children, and had social distancing and all the money that was wasted on all of that. But also, remember how evil and crude and really disgraceful the behavior was between the liberal side and the side that was screaming foul about this, saying that, oh, follow the science. And they weren't following the science at all.
We know that now.
People like me were following the science.
Yes.
And they were calling everyone that was on the conservative side of this after we got a little bit of a following, because at first nobody followed us. Mm-hmm. We were alone at
first.
Mouth breathers and all these kind of derogatory descriptions of the people that were screaming foul about this. So anyway, just to get back to the PCR test, it's not fit for purpose at all. They use primers from a different organism initially. I can explain, and when we talk about the proof that the virus wasn't there, that the genome of the virus was obtained fraudulently. They didn't even isolate the virus before they sequenced the genome. And now that we look at the actual genome of what they used to make the vaccines and everything, there's sequences from human ribosomal RNA in the virus genome.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it was not isolated properly. The specimen, they didn't isolate the RNA out of the bronchoalveolar lavage fluid of the patient that they used to make the genome, the initial guy. And then Dr. Fan Wu was the one that did that work, and he submitted the sequence to GenBank and GSAID, which are the platforms that hold the gene sequences of a bunch of different things. And that's what is used to make the vaccine. So all the vaccines are wrong, too. That's why they're making everybody sick and killing a bunch of people. And by the way, you mentioned earlier about the deceit that went on. The FDA doctors, after a few years, were telling the government that these things are killing children. Remember that during the Biden administration? And the Biden administration kept that quiet.
Yes.
Kept telling people to get the vaccine.
That's just so criminal.
It's incredible.
Let me jump in and ask, why did they do that? What was the motivation of doing that?
Well, the motivation for the whole thing being unleashed when it was is really something that's a little bit of speculation on my part, but I think it makes an awful lot of sense.
You covered that in your book.
Yes, I did. There were three main reasons I think they unleashed this story when they did. Remember, in my opinion, they did not unleash a virus because there was never any virus.
Right.
As a matter of fact, every PCR positive result is a false positive because there wasn't a virus.
Again, I hate to keep jumping in, but for the benefit of our listeners that may have just tuned in, may never have heard your interview before, why are you saying for a virus that never existed? We know that it was called COVID. We know that people died supposedly from COVID.
Yes.
What is... Tell our listeners what they really did was take something and rename it. Talk about that.
Yes. There's no question that lots of people died from this. I mean, people have relatives that died from this. But they didn't die of a pandemic called COVID-19 that was caused by a transmissible coronavirus. That was all made up. They died of other diseases that had been rebranded or relabeled as COVID-19. And the primary one was a disease called atypical pneumonia.
Yes.
Atypical pneumonia is called atypical pneumonia because it doesn't have a cause. If it was known to be caused by a bacterium, they'd call it bacterial pneumonia, as you've heard before.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to find a disease that had no known cause that was respiratory in nature, so that they could say a pandemic was occurring, and it's all they did was relabel atypical pneumonia diseases. And influenza is another one that they relabeled into COVID. And as you may recall, Pastor and audience, in 2019, there were 38 million cases of pneumonia worldwide. And in 2020, when COVID came out, it dropped to 1,500 in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a reduction of a factor of 25,333. So all of those 38 million, except for 1,500, were relabeled as COVID-19.
Relabeled.
See what I mean?
In fact, as you recall, and some of our listeners may recall, right here in the state of Florida, down in mid-Florida, a man had a motorcycle accident. He was put in the hospital, and when he died, they labeled it COVID.
Yeah, and they labeled the cause of death COVID.
That's what I'm saying.
They labeled it his cause of death COVID, and he had died in a motor vehicle accident in Miami.
That's right.
And that's what Dr. Ezekiel was talking about. She said, just because someone died of a clear alternative cause, as you may remember, I just read the quote, it doesn't mean that they died of COVID, just that they had a positive COVID diagnosis at the time of death. And here's the silly thing about that. They didn't even have a positive COVID diagnosis. They just had a positive test result, a positive PCR for COVID, which meant absolutely nothing. It's not even fit for purpose to make a diagnosis.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. I believe Kevin is on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much, Dr. Yama, for your program. My question, sir, is how do we detect if somebody's lying to us, say, oh, I didn't take the COVID-19 vaccination. We know. How do we detect if they did take the COVID-19? What kind of test can we take, a blood test, or what kind of test can we take to make and what do we look for in a blood test that we know that they took the COVID-19 and they're actually lying to us?
Okay, Kevin. Here's the way you would detect that. The COVID-19 vaccine, now, don't get the virus and the vaccine mixed up, because the vaccine most definitely existed.
How do you detect vaccine?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you that, but a lot of people get those mixed up, and I'm just front-running that. The way to detect if you got the vaccine or not is to see if you have antibodies to the so-called spike protein, which was encoded in the vaccine.
Okay.
In other words, they picked a molecule they wanted people to produce in their own bodies. And there's reasons for it that I explain in the book, why they chose the specific molecule of the spike protein. But let me tell you something, Kevin. Because they called it the spike protein because they wanted to trick people into thinking they were getting protected from the virus that supposedly had spikes sticking off of it. Do you remember all that, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But the sequence of base pairs that coded for that molecule they wanted everyone to produce in their body had nothing to do with things sticking off of a coronavirus. That was all a ruse to get people to take the vaccine. You with me?
Okay.
And there's a very strong case a very strong case, and we put a timeline in the book, a fascinating, fabulous timeline that explains the possible motivation for choosing the molecule that they called the spike protein that had nothing to do with spikes or anything. And that was to make the blood-brain barrier more permeable, okay? And I can get into that detail of why they wanted the blood-brain barriers to be more permeable if we want to get into great detail, but we'll end up using the rest of the hour. But the way to detect if someone has had the vaccine or not is to do an antibody test for the spike protein. They're going to have antibodies all in their blood for the spike protein if they had the vaccine.
Now, is there just one spike protein or is there a specific spike protein? What kind of spike protein?
There's one specific spike protein. There aren't different spike proteins. And here's something that's very important that a lot of people don't understand. When you have instructions to produce a molecule in the body, those instructions that come in with the vaccine are going to produce exact copies of that molecule. They're not going to have variations on it. It's only going to produce one molecule, and every single copy is exactly the same. And that's where a lot of the fraud occurred with the virus. They were pointing at things and claiming they were virus particles that weren't even exact copies of each other. And we know that when a virus infects a cell, if you think back to high school biology, the virus releases its genetic material into the cell, and the genetic material has the instructions to make many exact copies of the virus, right? Do you remember that?
Yes.
From high school biology. Okay, so yes. If you're going to point at something and claim that it's a virus particle, it better be an exact copy of lots of other particles right next to it that supposedly were released when the cell broke open. Do you remember all this?
Right.
That's called the cytopathic effect. And they're pointing at things in the papers, including a paper that was written about the first case of COVID-19 in the United States. They're pointing at a group of particles that aren't anywhere near close to being similar. You know, the whole thing was such an incredible fraud. I mean, golly. But anyway, there's one spike protein. It has nothing to do with something sticking off of a coronavirus.
Absolutely. So the bottom line is, Kevin, as you know, and we realize with conversation with Dr. Sheftall, we've been lied to, been deceived from the government level, top down, and multitudes tried to carry that message. I remember an anchor with CNN said, for those that did not get the vaccine, need to be rounded up and put in prison as a result of it.
Yes, isn't that incredible how people were treated, Pastor?
Yes,
isn't that amazing?
The general public that refused to believe the lie, the general public that could see through the lie, were all cast aside and counted as anti-American somehow, some way, as a result of it. Kevin, thank you so much, brother, for your call, and God bless you. Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
Oh, one more thing.
Yes,
they
sir.
Did put, we have the bottle codes on if you're interested in this, doctor, but they did do in the patent, they put graphene oxide and also MAC IDs, microchips in this vaccine. You probably know about that, right?
I don't know about that. Remember, Kevin, in my position where I'm being recorded as a doctor saying all this stuff, I have to be absolutely 100% sure that I can prove everything I say. And I did hear the rumors about there being microchips in the vaccine, but I never found any proof of it, so I don't want to say that definitively. But I will say this. The spike protein has been determined to make the blood-brain barrier more permeable. And ultimately, I'll go ahead and give you the punchline on that. Ultimately, there's no question that they want a permeable blood-brain barrier, so they don't have to do a craniotomy to put in a Neuralink-type device to affect people's behavior and thoughts. And that is their ultimate goal. And when you get this book and read it, you will read the timeline of that exact purpose of all this. It explains it from the very beginning. It started in the 1960s, if you can believe it or not. And it's now gotten to the point where someday they are going to want to give us a pretext for getting an IV, such as a disease that you need an IV to treat it. And they will be able to put nanobots in through an IV, which will get into your brain and affect your action potentials. There's no question they're on the road to doing that.
Absolutely. It's frightening when you think of it, but concerning.
Because, Kevin, you can't do a craniotomy on everybody. A craniotomy is when you actually cut the skull open and get to the brain that way. Now, you'll do it if you're a quadriplegic, you know, to try to get you to be able to walk again. But the average person won't do it. But they will. They've already demonstrated they'll consent to a vaccine for no reason.
Absolutely. Kevin, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, we're interviewing today Dr. Reed Sheftall. He is the author of the third book on the subject of COVID. Title of it is Sanctioned, The COVID Murders, Volume 2, The SARS-CoV Virus Forensic Investigation. And he had one other book that makes the third one now, and one was called The COVID Lies, and in that he pointed out the pictures and the titles of the individuals that carried and pushed and promulgated the lie. Dr. Sheftall, I'm looking at a massive article. Time won't allow us to get into the details of it. It says Chairman Rand Paul delivers opening remarks during whistleblower hearings on the multi-agency cover-up of COVID-19 and gain of function. And at time won't allow, but I'm going to read two brief paragraphs of what Rand Paul says. COVID-19 pandemic was one of the most consequential events of our lifetime. And to this date, the American people have never received a full accounting of where it came from, what our government knew, why they had to fight why we have to fight our own government to find out. Today, this committee will hear the Intelligence Committee community whistleblower about these questions. For years, Americans were told to trust experts, trust the agencies, trust the intelligence community, and trust their officials who assured us that they were following the science. But the evidence before us today tells us a very different story. Today, we'll expose a system in which the same small circle of officials, scientists, and grantees and intelligence advisors move from agent to agency, meeting to meeting, and briefing to briefing, reviewing one another's work, shaping one another's conclusions, and presenting those conclusions to Congress and to the public as independent judgment. Only it was not independent judgment, it was circular reasoning. So, Dr. Sheftall, one question to get back to that statement of Rand Paul's in his opening remarks in some of the Senate hearings. Dr. Tedros, World Health Organization.
Right.
What does he know medically that gave him the authority to make the announcement that we had a pandemic?
He had absolutely no justification for saying that we had a pandemic, and certainly no justification that he knew the cause of it back in the beginning of the whole thing as being caused by a novel coronavirus. That was absolutely unjustified for him to make a claim like that. But remember, Pastor, this whole thing was planned, you know.
Mm-hmm.
This didn't come about and people reacted to it. This had been planned for a long time. And why did they release it when they did is another question which I can reflect on if you'd like me to. But this thing was planned. They had already planned that they were going to blame it on a novel coronavirus. It just came way too early for a thinking scientist like myself and Dr. Yeadon. We said, well, how do you know that? Where'd you get the idea that it's caused by a novel coronavirus? And at that point, they didn't even have the proper primers for a PCR test, which can't even diagnose it anyway. So he had no business at all claiming that. I mean, it was so absurd to anybody who thought it through. And I do not know why the 13 million doctors in the world did not pick up on this.
They completely missed it. Yes, that touches on another subject. On page 2 and on page 7 in your book, you stated that the powers to be depended on herd stupidity of the medical community.
Absolutely.
Discuss this view and what you mean.
All right. I mean, listen, when someone makes a comment, when someone says 2 plus 2 equals 5, okay, There should be mathematicians up in arms about them claiming something that they know doesn't exist. Okay? Now, this is more complicated than 2 plus 2 equals 5, but there are all kinds of red flags from the beginning on this. It made no sense at all what they were claiming. And then China puts out the falling man videos. Did you see that picture in the book?
Yes.
Where people are supposed to be falling over unconscious,
mm-hmm.
and they're putting their hands and their knees out to cushion their fall in the video. So it was totally staged.
Staged, absolutely. All right. I saw that.
Because I don't know if you've ever seen someone truly collapse, like on a basketball court, mm-hmm. like have a heart attack and collapse. Their head hits the the
surface,
the floor of the basketball court without any resistance at all. It's hard to watch, really, to see a head hit the ground like that. So this was all staged. The whole thing was staged, fake, and it took our CIA 1 year to come up with the fact that that was staged.
Mm-hmm.
Can you believe the CIA couldn't even analyze a video like that and show when people were sticking their hands out and their knees out to cushion their fall that it was fake? Our own CIA? So, of course, they were in on it, too.
Absolutely.
And that proves it right there. How could it take a year to say this is not a real video? Do you understand what I'm...
And
where I'm coming from?
And the bottom line, you're saying, Dr. Schaftel, that we should have had alarm bells going off in the halls of the medical associations,
right. That,
the medical
right.
doctors. Now, the
now,
question...
Now, Pastor, I'm sorry, I didn't answer your question, did I? You were asking me about herd stupidity.
Yeah.
Now, there are more reasons than herd stupidity. It could have been cowardice, stupidity, or greed mm-hmm. that caused these doctors not to speak up about this. Cowardice means they did realize something was wrong, but they weren't willing to say it
yes.
because they didn't want to mess up their practice and get their license taken away
mm-hmm.
for speaking out about it because they wanted the money, right, that comes from their medical practice. But
yes.
when you lose your license, you can't make any money
that's
anymore.
Right.
So that's one possible reason why they didn't speak out. But most of it was just stupidity, I think. I hate to say that about doctors. But
very quickly, because our time is about
all right.
Elapsed.
Yes, sir.
On page 26 in your book, you give a list of the toxic chemicals that are in vaccines.
Yes.
Very quickly cover that.
Okay.
So that our listeners understand the danger of it.
I'll be happy to. Now, let me say something very important at first. Normally, when they make a live attenuated vaccine, they do it by performing cytopathic effects and gathering up the things that they call viruses, which are really exosomes, cell debris from a monkey kidney cell, okay, which we really didn't talk about the proof why the virus doesn't exist today. Maybe we can do that next time. They gather all that stuff up, and they put formaldehyde in it, which is formalin, you know, which is a poison.
Yeah.
They put in ethylene glycol, which is antifreeze. And if you ever watch Forensic Files on TV, you find out that husbands kill their wives a lot of time by poisoning with antifreeze. They put in aluminum phosphate, which is linked to cancer. And they put in acetone, which is nail polish remover. The ladies will know about that. And they put mercury/thimerosal in there. And that's a poison.
Absolutely.
Those ingredients are added to the live attenuated vaccines that everybody gets. If the mothers knew that, they would never allow that stuff to be infected.
Absolutely. And ladies and gentlemen, this book can be gotten. Go to FCBCATJikes.com, FCBCATJikes.com. Scroll down to the bookstore and go to the bookstore and make the purchase. It's a $20 book, but it's worth every penny of what you put in that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us today. Dr. Schaftel, thank you for being with us. And we'll look forward to meeting you next time. On the air, as once again we face the issues.
Pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and President of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Christian teaching and talk. This is 91.7, The Truth.
How important is rest, relaxation?